Welcome to the Terror Dome, baby.
We swarm, baby.
Welcome to the Terror Dome,
baby. We swarm, let them know.
We swarm, baby.
We swarm, baby. All day.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another week, another episode of Tales from the Terror Dome. It is 2026. I hope the New Year's Eve, I hope you had a great time. Whatever you did, I hope you chose to spend it with the people that you wanted to spend it with. I hope it was great for you. If you drank, great. If you sat home and watched Dick Clark, great. If you did both, great. I don't know. Vibes are high for 2026. The transfer portal has kicked off. Santa Portal has brought the Virginia Tech Hokies some presents. And I believe for the first time ever, Sam Jesse from Sons of Saturday and Too Deep is on the podcast. My man, how are you living?
What's up, Dan? How are you doing, buddy? Yeah, it's been a great start to the new year. A ton of portal news, which we'll get to. It does feel like the college football calendar is never ending. Like, I think we're going to be talking about this stuff until spring ball here in a few months.
Yeah, it's thank God, because last year it felt like we were in off-season purgatory. A lot of time there wasn't really too much happening, and then it was kind of like
it's kind of felt like we've been in the off-season since October.
We have been, but like, yeah, I mean, we got what Bowen left, and then we got two new coordinators, and then it was kind of like a whole bunch of transfers. Like, we went crazy on G6 safety transfers. And then we was kind of like, well, what do we talk about? Because there are no new tendencies to talk about now. And like, we really don't know what's happening. Everything was kind of shut down as far as like people getting sneak peeks into this thing. And then obviously the season went off the rails after what we thought was going to be somewhat of a tough team, right? With the way they played South Carolina. And then now here we are with James Franklin, new money, that new money smell, and portals are rolling.
Well, we'll see how far that new money goes. Yeah, I think this will also be a much better offseason for the X's and O's guys. A lot more film to go off of than for the previous two coordinator hires.
Yeah. I'm excited for that part of it because it's kind of like, yeah, Ty Howe, new coordinator, whatever, but like, James Franklin has been a head coach forever, so it's not the same. And I kind of like, I mean, we're still missing a safeties coach, but I kind of like the way everything was put together, even if it was not how I completely envisioned it on that front.
Yeah, I think they have a pretty good idea who the safeties coach is going to be. So I'm hoping that gets cleared up here in the coming days. And then, like you said, with Hal, I mean, this is James Franklin's offense, right? I mean, it's not going to be anything that deviates from much of what they ran at Penn State. And I think there is, I think I've told the Too Deep audience this, and I'll tell your audience too. I think there's this idea that Penn State has this anemic 1980s style offense that doesn't do anything. 2 years ago, so, you know, when they were in the semifinals of college football playoff, they had a top five offense across the board. They had one of the most efficient passing offenses in the country. They had one of the most explosive offenses in the country. They scored a ton of points. I don't think a lot of people understand like how high the peaks were offensively under James Franklin. The issue was that the peaks weren't as consistent as many Nittany Lions fans would have wanted. And this little old team from Columbus, Ohio kept rearing its ugly head. But I think you're going to see a little bit more on offense than maybe you're thinking.
Yeah, no. The Big Ten's going to be interesting. I know you'll get into it on CFB Mondays with Pete, but it's looking like Indiana, with the way this portal's rolling, might be the new bully in the Big Ten, which is crazy.
I mean, if I were to tell you, 5 years ago, I'd be like, hey, you know what? The Indiana and Oregon's going to be the new like it rivalry in the Big Ten. It's just absolutely insane. But here we are, man. Those two teams are rolling. Ohio State's going to bounce back and be a national title favorite next year for sure. And who knows what we're going to get out of Michigan, Penn State, Wisconsin with a big transfer portal pickup. Colton Joseph, a guy that Hokies fans know very well from Old Dominion, taking his talents to Madison, Wisconsin. I know that's one that the Hokies were looking at initially, but we're going to talk about some guys that they did do have in the boat for quarterback position, some guys that they might get in the boat.
Yeah, so when we hired James Franklin, my initial thought was, at Gronk, I don't think he had played at this point, but I was like, I don't want to just go get Ethan Gronkemeyer just because he was the guy that was supposed to be next for James Franklin. And then I watched this guy play quarterback over the last seven games or so, including the bowl game versus Clemson. Mm-hmm. And he won me over. I was like, you know what? I was a Sam Levitt, Bo Prabula guy. I became an Ethan Gronkemeyer guy. And when that ball hit in like the final hour of yesterday, I was so hyped.
Yeah, I mean, his ceiling is much higher than Prabula. His ceiling is higher than Colton Joseph as well, I think. You know, what he does for you, maybe the most important thing, he has years left of eligibility. This isn't a one-and-done quarterback. This is a guy who can come in, continue to learn the system, continue to get better. And that's something Virginia Tech, like, Dan, you know this, we haven't had that at quarterback since, like, Logan Thomas. I mean, who Logan Thomas, like, awesome guy. He was fine, but, like, we all knew he was, like, the quarterback because we didn't have another quarterback. He was the biggest, most athletic guy on the team. Like, Tech historically does not have the year-over-year quarterback growth. And Gronkemeyer gives you that. And maybe that's more important than anything he's going to do next season. It's going to be about what he allows your program to do in the years after that.
Yeah, plus just the way he slings that football. Like, I think everyone's like, well, he's not really that mobile. And I'm like, well, no, he's not a dual threat quarterback, but he got some wiggle to him. Like, I've seen him roll pockets and deliver strikes. Like, he can get 5 to 6, whatever, however many yards, but like his biggest thing is that arm and that accuracy. And we haven't had anything like that in forever. And we have a receiving core that we've been itching to see for 3 years that we're finally going to find out, hey, are these guys as advertised or not? Because this quarterback can get them the football.
I saw a comp, non-Virginia Tech related, because a Virginia Tech fan would never make this comp about their potential future quarterback. Matt Ryan.
Gronkins, Matt Ryan.
I saw that and they were like early Matt Ryan, like pure pocket quarterback, little bit, like you said, like little bit wiggly in the pocket, but just has just arm. Like anywhere on the football field, he can make that throw. I'm not ready to say Matt Ryan. I'm probably not going to be for a while, but I know there are some Hokies fans clenching their fists at that idea right now.
Yeah, 07 aside, that's a hell of a comp.
I knew that's what the guy was like. Nasty. I don't even think it was a Penn State fan. I think it was like a team that they played. Maybe it was like an Indiana guy. I triggered this in my mind. I should have been able to like pull up the tweet or something. Maybe I will for the Too Deep show. But like the guy was like, man, you know what he reminds me of? Early Matt Ryan. It's like, God dang. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. Either way, I'm excited for this kid coming in. Like you said, 3 years of eligibility for where we are, that is way more important than we're not a rental quarterback away from like doing big things. Like, we need the consistency and the development. Like, we need a quarterback there to be able to sell to the other pieces as we win games, keep coming in and complimenting what we have and slowly turn this, well, not slowly, I say slowly, but like 2 years, turn this thing into something that in year three, right before James is about to really get paid, like we're really, like next year I expect to push for some things, but the year after and the year after that, I expect to firmly be in these conversations right now. Like in January.
Yeah.
And November.
And I will say, was we're recording this, you know, shoot, what night is it? Monday at 7:30 PM. There is no commitment from Gronkemeyer right now. It is a crystal ball, and there's only one crystal ball. Now it is from Matt Zenitz from CBS Sports, who is a very well-respected college football reporter. He tweeted it out at like midnight, like absolute psycho mode. But so I just want to caveat with that. Like we're
absolutely
just caveat with that. But there's another crystal ball that the Hokies have for a former, was he a four-star or a five-star? I don't know, but UNC quarterback Bryce Baker. I was a really promising prospect there for the Tar Heels.
Yeah, did you watch his film?
I remember it out of high school. My initial people who follow high school recruiting much more than I do, which is something that I kind of gotten out of the loop on after a few years of covering it, really like him. Like really, really like him. If he didn't start at UNC this year, I'm a little worried.
Yeah, the film was good, like, but it's obvious, like, there's some, I'm not a quarterback guy, like, I can't tell you, but, like, I can tell you what looks good, and, like, he looked good, but you can tell, like, there's some things, like, with the way he throws the ball, and some of the ways that the balls are delivered. I've watched enough football to know at a higher level, that's probably getting picked, or that's probably, this, you know, that's getting defended successfully, so. And I think he went there with Bill and he realized himself that, hey, I got a lot to work on. I'm kind of behind. So I think that's why, even if he knew, like if him and Grunk were there at the same time and he knew, hey, I still have things to work on. Like I'm thinking maybe he knows himself that he is a project.
Yeah. I mean, that UNC offense this year was horrific. And if he couldn't, I mean, he was third string this year for them. So, like you're looking at a guy that's definitely a project player. And that's why I think it's so important that Virginia Tech gets a guy like Grunkemeyer that can start against VMI and you don't have to worry about it, right? Like you've seen him play against some of the best, like you saw him hold his own against one of the best teams, if not the best team in the country in Indiana. You saw him flourish in, you know, games against other Big Ten opponents and then Clemson in the Pinstripe Bowl up here in New York. So I'm really excited if they can get him in the boat. I think that completely changes this roster and changes this team and changes the outlook for the season. But a lot of work to be done.
Yeah, when you have a quarterback, you can sell to other people. It makes them also want to come here.
Yep.
Because we got another crystal ball for Jeff Exner Jr., who was a popular Hokie, like a popular recruit in the Hokie sphere, I guess. Last time he was coming out of high school, and I saw they put a crystal ball on for him today. That would also be like, I'm down to take as many like high caliber P4 pieces that we can, proven or not. I definitely want to get into the proven, but we need to highly like reset this roster. So bringing in as much talent as you can and figuring it out from there is fine with me.
Yeah, you know, sometimes it does feel like you just need dudes in the building. And before you can even start any of this, I think a lot of Hokies fans, especially in during the more so like the Fuente years, but at times during the Pry years, really, really hung up on like roster construction and stuff like that. But you even see NFL GMs do this, like some of the best NFL GMs. They might go after like one or two positions of need. After that, it's just get me the best football player and bring them onto our team. That's what, you know, the Patriots did for a long time. It's what the Eagles have been doing for a while. It's what the Rams have been doing for a while. Like, I see good football player, I bring that football player here. You know, it's okay to have three, four really good running backs. We've seen that at Virginia Tech. It's okay to stack your safety room with three or four guys. Because guys get injured, and I think I kind of made the joke on Twitter, like, oh, Tech might turn into tight end U because like all of these potential tight ends that are coming in from Penn State and from other places and guys that are recruiting and Benji guys now coming back, like, hey, tight end U. Dude, there's absolutely no problem with having four or five playable tight ends if you're running 12 personnel every time. Like, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that, so. I hope the Hokies can bring in two or three quarterbacks. I hope they can bring in another running back. I hope they can create competition in these rooms, man. Haven't had that in a while.
Yeah, nothing makes you better than fear of losing your job. if you just know, like, hey, doesn't matter what I do out there on Saturday, come Monday, I'm getting the reins back in my hands. But, like, I would like to see four O-linemen starting caliber. I would like to pay for them. They're hard to get. Like, I haven't even seen that many enter the portal. I know we just got one, Justin Bell from Michigan State. Big boy, what's it, like 6'8", 311, something like that. Big Ten offensive linemen, give me them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, automatic. Like, if you think he's good enough, cool. Let me have him, because the Big Ten's known for beefy trenches, man. And we need some hogs up there.
Need some hogs. He's a really interesting guy too, because like Michigan State, that poor program got absolute, like, they had NIL issues a couple of years ago, and now they've had the coaching turnover. Like, they've had some weird things happen. But this is a guy who was all like, Indiana offered him too out of high school. And he's pretty new. He's class of 2025. So he's a young guy, another guy who's going to have a lot of years. Indiana offered him, and they have like, part of the reason Indiana is who they are this year and last year is because they nailed every single offensive lineman evaluation out of high school and the portal. Like, the moment Cignetti got there, every single guy they brought in was a stud. And so for me, it's not as much like, oh, he's coming from Michigan State, he's coming from Big Ten. You look at the other schools that looked at him, Indiana, one of them, and then his third biggest school, West Virginia, guy who recruited him to West Virginia, Matt Moore, his head recruiter, currently the offensive line coach at Virginia Tech. So you see those connections. So this is a guy who I think, hey, he maybe doesn't have the star pedigree as some of the other guys Virginia Tech is bringing in, but you look at the coaches who wanted this guy the most, really, really good.
Yeah, I always look at I always look more so offer list than I do their rating, because, you know, one can be a lie and the other will tell you exactly what you need to know. But I agree with you. And these guys that we're bringing in that are class 25, high school class of 24, plenty of eligibility left. Maybe we're guys we wanted out of high school that we couldn't quite get, whether it would be money or we just weren't successful enough on the field to truly attract them here, have now been in college, and they now have been developed somewhat by, I would imagine, way more competent staff than what we had, no offense. But and now they're here ready to learn and take that next step. Dude, I'm here for it.
Dude, do you think, like, I've been very in group chats and stuff like that, very, very cautious. And like, dude, I think there's just too many, like, I think we're too many guys away from potentially like the 8-9 win range, right? I was like, I don't know if we can fix all these issues in the portal. Do you feel better like today about what you're in, what the portal's looking like and what this roster could look like next year than you were a couple days ago?
Yeah, I feel like it started out somewhat slower than I thought. I mean, I knew it wouldn't be, it's never exactly what you think it's going to be, and it's never exactly what you don't think it's going to be. It's never, it's never truly amazing, never truly the worst. So I knew there was going to be some sort of give there, and I think that it started to heat up towards the end of the weekend. Plus, James Franklin seems to have that pride flair for bunching them together and kind of controlling when it goes out. And, I mean, we still got, what, 2 weeks left? And then people that play in the national championship get an extra 5 days. Yeah. So we're really looking at, like, the end of January before we truly are like, hey, like, what are we really looking at here, in my opinion?
Yeah, I think we're a few days away from really being able to, like, gauge how this is going transfer portal-wise. Another weird thing too is, you know, historically with Virginia Tech and the portal, they've always gone after guys who have like one, maybe 2 years left. And they have a lot of film out there, whether that's at a lower level or at another P4 as a backup or something, but we've always had a lot of film on them. I feel like a majority of the guys that we're getting excited about that James Franklin's getting in the boat are either high school recruits that he's flipped or like guys who were freshmen or redshirt freshmen at a place and are coming in. So like the star, like the recruiting ranking seemed to like them. Like you said, the offer list that these guys have also seemed to like them. We don't have a lot of film on the guys that we have in the boat right now. So spring practice to me, I know it's kind of a joke of like spring game is like not really meaningful. It doesn't matter. Billy Ray from the Suns will tell you it's the biggest joke of all time. As someone who played, he said it was a joke, but dude, we need to see something because we have no film on these guys.
Yeah, you're definitely going to see that competition. Like you're going to see guys wean themselves out, or like I think you're going to see true dogs that you're going to find out. I think that's what spring ball is going to be for us, is you're going to find out who in the building really wants it, because it's going to be a lot more talent, which means there's going to be a lot less security for jobs, and you're gonna see, and that's the most important thing, is like who showed up to take it.
Yeah. I mean, we have a long, long way to go in this process. Like it's going to be a long 2 weeks of transfer portal stuff, and this roster is going to look very, very different 2 weeks than it does even tonight. But there's a lot. I mean, Pete and I talked on the on a show with Colby Crawford from 247 a few weeks ago, and we were like, it feels like there's a lot of untapped potential already in Blacksburg, and those guys seem to be staying. There hasn't been kind of the mass exodus that we thought might happen. Like, there's a lot of guys who are staying that seem to have some untapped potential, especially on the defensive side. They got back. Like, it looks like they're going to get back pretty much everybody that had potential to come back.
Yeah, I was going to say that. We haven't seen a lot of kids leaving, at least not on their own. Caleb Wilson, I feel like people kind of figured that was coming. Yeah. Quentin Reddish coming back was a nice surprise for me. Mm-hmm. I really wanted to keep Q. I think he actually was hurt last year. Christian Ellis going to UVA. People were like, what do you think? And I was like, he was here. Wasn't even here long enough to get Starbucks. Like, I don't care. Like, he had a play and then he sat out.
That's crazy. That's going to be a crazy trivia question one day. Game winning PBU at NC State. Former New Mexico Lobo, Virginia Tech Hoagie, Virginia Cavalier. it's just insane.
We might trade him for Cam Courtney, basically, which I would take Cam Courtney. But I don't know.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
You know, Kamari Copeland as well today said he's coming back.
That's a big
one. That's one that I think like might be Virginia Tech's biggest recruiting win under James Franklin right now, because there is big boy schools wanted Kamari Copeland.
Yeah, I saw that tweet that was like one of the highest paid players. And I was like, I don't care what they paid him as long as he's here. I don't care. It's not my money.
Dude, I think he's going, like, he has potential to me to be so good, because he has these moments in games where he reminds you of like watching how dominant like a Tim Settle was, where he'll just like, it'll be a double team and he'll just destroy it like from the snap. And that pops so much on college film, because you just don't see a lot of college players that can do that. He's going to be huge. I think in Clark back, you know, he was injured the whole year with an ACL, but he's a guy who they've been excited about, and he was going to be a starter this year. So getting him back feels big. Just some wins here under the belt. It does feel like a lot more wins than losses over the last few weeks.
Yeah. I need that Noah Chambers run it back meme, or the graphic. I need it.
Yeah. I mean, and Caleb Spencer too. I think those two guys have the most juice on the defense, I think, of anybody, and the vintage lunch pail guys that I think you really want to like build your defense around, players like that. Tech needs those guys in the boat for sure.
Yeah. Plus, you know, obviously want more linemen. Tight end room looking good. Matt Henderson's here now. From I think he's a Powhatan kid. Mm-hmm. Luke Reynolds is predicted to come here. He was a five-star kid. I like what he did in the bowl game. Benji, haven't heard one way or the other. I assume he's probably staying at this point. Harrison coming back, I actually like that a lot because I thought
I did too.
That for what last year was, we got some pretty good like production out of that kid. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited to see like what Howell and them can do with him.
Yeah. Yeah, I think too with Henderson, it's nice that he can come in and like not have to play day one, right? You have some veteran guys in there. And that's a position too that they can take a beating, man. Like tight end can, it's one of the more physically demanding positions, especially in offense like this where they're going to be is blocking as much, a little less of the like Travis Kelce glorified like wide receiver type thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's physically demanding, and you need to be able to like rotate some different guys in there, and guys are going to get hurt playing that position. So definitely one that you need to build up depth as well as defensive line. I think we need to see a little bit more action on the defensive line here, which I think they will in the next week or so, because that room's pretty thin now. A lot of guys graduated. A lot of guys left the team from that room, especially at the edge rusher position. So like, I mean, you lost, like going into last season, your top three edge rushers were Jonkum, Bell, and Burgos, and none of those guys are here and did anything. So like you're basically starting from bare bones, like nothing at the edge rusher position.
Yeah, two quit the team. So
dude, you want something funny, go back and listen to Pete and I talk about like transfers we're most excited for, like guys to know who are gonna like do something. We record it right before the South Carolina game, and I'm pretty sure of our top 10, like three of them quit the team, two of them like medical red shirt, another one got a DUI and was a dud the rest of the season. Like Terry and Stewart only played like four or five games. It was an absolute mess.
Yeah, I interviewed Jonkum last offseason, so I'm with you on that one. That didn't work out. No. Another guy I was supposed to interview, Matt Outten, that never came to fruition, ended up flipping to Penn State. So I haven't heard what he's going to do, but I would have liked to have him come back. But
yeah, I think something interesting too is these guys can, you know, these guys are having conversations with the staff as things are going, and they're seeing things develop. So I think we're going to have some guys enter the portal here in the next few days from Virginia Tech, but other schools are going to have that too. And that means Virginia Tech has the opportunity to pick somebody up. You know, I'm sure there's a lot of guys who they are playing the back channels for, we'll say.
My favorite game
in the portal right now. Yep. So we'll see how this thing turns out.
Well, also with the way bags just get heightened these days, like they just get increased. I think the stealthy way is the best way as far as total AAV goes.
Well, it's like that safety, that high school recruit safety that Tech lost out to West Virginia on. West Virginia missed on like three of their biggest targets all in a row. They all missed on them. And then the night before signing day, they went to that kid and was like, hey, here's all we have left. Like, here's everything, right? So, of course, he went there. He's being paid 3X his market value at West Virginia. That's going to happen, right? Shoot, it might happen with, like, Brendan Sorsby going from Cincinnati to Texas Tech, rumored, like, $5 to $6 million for 1 year. He's basically being paid higher than a lot of guys who are getting drafted at quarterback. Will be.
Oh yeah, and his girlfriend goes there. It's a win-win for
and
him.
And his girlfriend transferred there. Yeah, man. I'm sure that had another
convenient.
I'm sure that was just convenient. Yeah. I mean, Lubbock, Texas in January. He said the visit was amazing. You can't beat it. You can't beat West Texas in January.
Man, I hope we take some of that money and give it to Amari Campbell. I'm hoping that we get him. That would be amazing. I'm cool with spending whatever because he is a Sunday player.
What about this? Another Penn State guy Tech got in, Daniel Jennings. He was a big time recruit, 4-star guy. He was the number one player in West Virginia when he came out. This is really interesting to me because his like profile athletically is really interesting. He's like listed anywhere between 6'1 and 6'2. I think now he's up to like 250 something, 260, but he plays defensive end. So he's either like a stand up outside linebacker or like a really short defensive end. He's such a tweener, but
yeah,
again, huge recruit, number one player in his state. He was, you know, a top 247 guy, a 4-star, a highly rated 4-star too. Like not one of these barely 4-stars. He was a high 4-star. And he just has this like really in-betweener body type. I'm curious to see how they're going to use him.
Yeah, I feel like that's another one that's probably a year away or so from being on the field. But I don't know. Maybe they have something schemed up for him. Yeah. Maybe they end up putting him somewhere else. I don't know, but top talent in your state, we'll take it.
Yeah. 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 It'd be really nice. I think it's been talked about for a while, but if Virginia Tech could find a way to get, you know, Ohio, Pennsylvania, West Virginia into the recruiting circle, that would be good. Because if you look at that 6-hour radius map that all the coaches talk about, there's a lot of untapped potential in that 6-hour. Virginia Tech really only focuses on the eastern half of that 6 hours. And we kind of neglect the west and northern part of that 6 hours. So I'd be really curious to see if this staff comes in and starts recruiting some places that Tech hasn't historically recruited. I think that could be a huge boost because we've talked about it for years. Like everybody's dipped into the 757 in Novo, and you're not going to outbid everybody.
Right. That's a fact, but we're going to outbid more people than we used to. Now,
that's for sure,
which is important.
That's for sure, man.
Which is important. Sam, man, I appreciate you coming on to wrap up the initial chapter of the portal madness that is occurring. I'm sure by the time I post this tonight, it'll probably already be outdated.
That's all
right. That's a good thing. It keeps the content rolling, keeps Tech happy, it keeps us happy. I'm excited for everything that's about to transpire. And yeah, man, it's going to be a hell of a 2026 one way or another.
Hey, man, it's got to be better than 2025. That's for sure.
Has to be. That's a fact, man. Well, dude, I know you got to run. You got others. Yeah. You're a man of many shows. I appreciate you breaking this first initial thing down with me. I'm hoping we get the official Grunk announcement soon, and then we can really start celebrating this portal.
Hell yeah, man.
And as always, dude, go Hokies.
Go Hokies.